Happy New Year. It's a joy to be with you this morning. I am Ben Tharp, and I'm the Director of Youth Ministry here at Trinity Church. This morning, we're going to continue our series on the songs of the Savior. This morning, we will be in Luke chapter 2, and we will look at verses 8 through 20, and we will be focusing on the song of the angels and how this particular song inspires songs to follow. And to start off, I'm going to read our passage, and I'm going to tell a story of a time when I was in high school. It'll be an interesting one, but let's stand as we read our passage this morning. Luke 2, 8 through 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at it, that what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. Come to you before a God who is worthy of glory. It is not us that are worthy of this glory, but we are bound to give it to you, whom it is due. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to your word this morning and pray all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Growing up, I spent a lot of time at the church. I was very involved in the children's ministry from a very young age and on into youth group. And when I got to youth group, one of the big focus points that our youth pastor wanted to instill in us as students was a heart for evangelism and sharing the gospel and proclaiming good news. And one way he did this was one Sunday a month, he would plan that all the students would get together at the local mall on a Sunday afternoon around 4 o'clock, and we would divide up and we would spend an hour just walking around the mall. And we were encouraged to engage in conversations with total strangers about the gospel. And I remember one particular Sunday that our youth pastor's 7-year-old son came up to me and said, "Hey, can I walk around with you?" And I said, "Sure, let's go." So we begin walking, and we were walking for about 15 minutes, and a gentleman, I shouldn't say gentleman, he was about 20 years old, is walking towards us, and he is wearing black, a dog collar, and he has a mohawk, bright purple, that's about this tall. And Drew, my youth pastor's son, looks up at me and says, "Mr. Ben, what about that guy?" And I immediately said, "No, Drew, that person, people like that are not interested in the gospel. Let's continue walking." And we walked on, and we came across a young college-age, young professional guy who, nice, normal, traditional haircut, looked, you know, great. And I said, "Let's go talk to that guy." And Drew and I walk up, and the conversation is going great, very polite. But as soon as the conversation turns to Jesus, a switch kind of flipped in his mind, and he started using language that I'm sure young Drew had never heard before. And we were both very shocked, and we just said, "Thank you for your time," and we continued walking. About 5 minutes later, Mohawk dude walks by again. And Drew goes, Ben, what about that guy? No, Drew, I told you, people like that aren't interested in Jesus. We continue walking and we approach a young mother with her two children sitting at the food court. And we walk up and I begin talking with her and introduce myself and introduce Drew. And I said, hey, we would like to ask you a few questions about Jesus. And she goes, oh, that would be great. He is my brother. I'm actually a goddess. And I go, oh, what do you mean by that? And as soon as I said, what do you mean by that? A switch flipped and she starts talking about how she cannot believe that people are so close-minded, and she grabbed her children and left. And Drew and I just kind of look at each other and we're like, okay, let's go. And we begin walking and we walk around a corner. And you know, Mohawk dude is right there. And Drew goes, Mr. Ben, what about him? And I remember looking at Drew and saying, Drew, I've told you, guys like that are not interested in Jesus, and I'll prove it to you. And I go up and I said, excuse me, can I ask you a few questions? And he looked very shocked, very surprised, but said yes. And I begin sharing the gospel with him. And he's just staring at me, just deadpan. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, the switch is about to flip and he's about to go off on us. But he broke down in tears. And he said, that is the most beautiful story I have ever heard. I want to follow Jesus. Amen. And I will never forget that day. That was the day that I assumed who the gospel was for based on appearance, based on what they look like. I decided that person is not interested in the gospel. And that was the day that I totally forgot that I was not someone who was worthy of the gospel, that the gospel is actually about the glory of God coming down to man. And this morning, this passage is about a song that the angels sing, praising the fact that God's glory has come down to man. And we often think that we are accepting and worthy of that glory and that gospel, but we are not. We're going to look at why the angels sang their song. Later, we will see that the shepherds sing a song, and we will look at why they sing. And lastly, we will look at why we should sing and sing songs of praise of God's glory for our Savior. First question is, why did the angels sing? To answer this question, we need to look at verse 10 and 11, because it kind of gives this introduction to what the song of the Savior is about. The shepherds are out in the middle of the night. It's probably cold, and an angel appears to them, and it kind of introduces the song by saying, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, those are two titles that we see in Scripture for the promise of God, the Savior and the Lord himself. So the angels begin by saying, hey, God has come down. God has been born a man, and he is dwelling among us, and he's for you, the shepherds. He's for you, not just for Mary and Joseph, but it says, for unto you is born this day a Savior. Now, the phrase praising God usually carries the connotation of song. So it says, suddenly there was a multitude of angels praising God, and we could translate this very easily, that they were singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The angels are singing because salvation has come at last. They're saying glory to God because his promises of his Savior have come to fulfillment. God made a promise long ago in the book of Genesis that a promised seed will come who would crush sin and death, and that the seed of a woman would come to restore his people, and the angels are here singing glory to God because God has been faithful to that promise and he is here at last. They sing for joy at the culmination of God's promise, and it was a beautiful thing. A few weeks ago, I posted this picture on my Facebook account. I think it's coming up. Yes. This picture is one of my favorite pictures. It's a beautiful painting. It was actually painted by one of the sisters at a monastery in Iowa. And this painting is called The Virgin Mary Consoles Eve. And I love this painting because it gets at the fulfillment of that promise from long ago. We see that Eve has her head hung down with shame. And at the very bottom, you can see on one of her legs is the serpent that is wrapped around her leg and going forward. Mary approaches her, pregnant, and her foot is actually standing on the neck of the serpent. The angels are singing for joy and the glory of God because God's promise is here. His deliverance is here. And that is why the angels sing for joy, and they sing glory to God because God has sent his glory down to us. We also see that the angels sang, but the shepherds also were moved to sing a song as well. And you might be thinking, I don't remember hearing about the song of the shepherds. And you're right. We don't have the lyrics of that song recorded for us in Scripture. But in verse 20, it says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." And those words, praising God, is the exact same word that's used to describe the song of the angels in verse 14. That same Greek phrase that kind of carries the connotation of a song of praise or a song of joy. Now, why did the shepherds sing? What was their reason to sing? And we will see that the shepherds sing because they've been shown great love. Shepherds were outcasts. We often think about shepherds because of the stories that we see, the children's books, that shepherds were, you know, hanging out with nice fluffy sheep all the time. But that's not how shepherds were in this time. Shepherds were actually the second lowest class in Jewish society. There was only one group of people that was viewed lower than shepherds, and that was lepers. And those people had to live in a special colony and couldn't come into contact with anybody else. Just above them were shepherds. Shepherds were not allowed to give testimony in a court because they were seen as untrustworthy. Shepherds were commonly wandering through the countryside, and if they wanted something, a lot of times they would just steal. They were not considered a trustworthy people. But God sent his angels to deliver the message and to sing this song of glory before the shepherds. A lot of commentators will have been debating on why did God send the angels to shepherds? And there are kind of two sides of this. Some commentators will say that, well, King David was a shepherd, so he sent it to shepherds because it's symbolizing that the Messiah is of the line of David. And that very well could be. There's another group of commentators, and I kind of kind of side with them a little on this, is that God sent the angels to the shepherds because no one was expecting the good news to go to shepherds. And God wanted to make a point that this promised Savior is for the lowly too. It's not for those that look the part. It's not just for those who live in Jerusalem and obey the law and do all the right things. But it's for the shepherds, the unclean, the dirty. It's for everyone. In verse 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day." The Messiah, the Savior, is not just born to Mary, born to those who fit the right idea of who the gospel is for, but it's for the shepherds. Verse 12 says, "And this will be a sign for you that you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Now, this is very significant because babies were never put in a manger. We again, kind of have this vision that it was a nice, clean stable with, you know, fluffy hay, and it was just, you know, nice, cozy little place. How many of y'all have ever been to a barn before? You know, it is not a clean place. You would never decide, "I'm going to put a newborn baby in a feeding trough at the barn. They're dirty." I was just at my parents' farm, and I had to go feed the horses, and it's just, barns are a mess. They're a mess. But it's significant because Jesus was not sent to a palace. He was not sent to the temple. He was sent to a place that even shepherds could go and see him. Even shepherds who were considered unclean, who could not go into certain parts of Jewish society, were able to go and see the Savior because he was put in a manger. The long-awaited Messiah has come. And the shepherds are so moved by this, the access that they have, the fact that the angels appeared to them, they are moved with great love, and it leads them to singing. Growing up, I had the privilege of living just a few minutes from my grandparents, and I got to spend a lot of time with my grandfather. My grandfather will be 93 next month, and I have wonderful memories of doing all sorts of things with my grandfather. I love my grandfather very dearly. One thing that I will always remember about my grandfather is he's a whistler. My grandfather is the best whistler I have ever known. And my grandfather is unique, I think, in the sense that he doesn't just whistle known tunes. He's a whistle composer. And when my grandfather is happy or content, no matter what he is doing, he starts whistling. He could be out in his garage. He loved to do woodworking in his retirement. And he'll be out there working, building a dresser, building whatever, and he'd just be out there whistling. He'd be gardening in the backyard or helping my mother prune trees at our house, and he'd be whistling some tune that he's made up and just happy as could be. Or even just driving down the road. We'd be driving down the road in the car. He's drumming on the steering wheel and whistling some tune that he made up. When my grandfather was happy and felt content and felt love, he was moved to composing some sort of song. And that's just what the shepherds do. Now, we don't know if this was a brand new song that the shepherds sing, or if they go and they're just singing again the song that they just heard from the angels, but they are also moved to sing. They are moved to sing because of the glory of God has come down, and they have been the benefactor of this great blessing. So that's why the angels sing. That's why the shepherds sang. Now, why should we sing? Why should we, here in 2017, almost 2018, sing? Do we have reason to sing? And the answer is absolutely. We should sing because we are just like those unclean shepherds. We did not hold any special place based on our merits or our job or our performance that demand that the gospel be given to us. But we are those unclean shepherds. Just last night, I was not the nicest husband, and I jumped to conclusions and was quick to speak because I'm not a perfect person. I'm like those shepherds. I am unworthy in a lot of things because I have sin. We are all consumed in our society. We have evil and brokenness around us all the time. We can't get away from it. And we are no better than those people that we view as, well, they're not worthy, but I am. I am no better than that guy with the mohawk that I assumed all those years ago would not be interested in the gospel. We should sing for joy at the glory of God because he has come down to us and we have been given that same gift, that peace on earth. Back in verse 10, it says, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all the people. All the people. And that is a reference to the people of God. You and I, as children of God, are part of that. We are receivers of this great joy, this great news. And it also says, on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. We are benefactors of that. And it's not because we had it all together. It's not that we were perfect and we looked the part and we had all the right things checked off our list. But no, in spite of us being shepherds and unclean, we've been given peace. Because the glory of God has come down to us. We should sing because salvation comes to us when we don't deserve it. This is why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas because it's about God's promise of salvation has come. And that glory has come down. Last week, Nate was mentioning that Christmas is a declaration of war on the brokenness of the world. Well, this song that the angels sang is that initial battle song of it's come. Restoration is coming. It is here. Christ has come. The glory of God has come down. And we've been given access to him. He was laid in a manger where all people, no matter what your background, your social status, a manger is a place that all may come freely. And that's where Jesus came. The glory of God came down that we may all be partakers of that beautiful, beautiful gift. As we go forward into this new year of 2018, it's very easy for me to think about, I'm going to sing of the glory of God about this beautiful baby come. Well, that's only for Christmas. We only sing songs at Christmas. But that's not true. We should be singing these songs of the glory of God, that the glory of God has come down year round. We need to be proclaiming this good news because we did not deserve it. And we need to go out into the world, into our neighborhoods, our offices, our workplaces, and proclaim this wonderful, wonderful news that peace has been brought to earth through the glory of God coming down. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that salvation has come and it's been given to those of us who would not deserve it otherwise. That your love looked down on us in our state of lowliness and sinfulness, and you sent your Son that we might have access to him. Lord, we thank you that the glory of your good news is that you love us despite our mistakes. Lord, we give you glory for the truth of your word, the faithfulness to your promise. Lord, I pray that you would ignite a passion in each of our hearts this coming year, that we might proclaim the glory of your plan of salvation to those around us. Lord, we pray all these things in your name. Amen.